Hello and welcome to Weekend Let's Hear It. I'm Cara Laurence. Glad you could join me. In the next half hour, you'll hear all about the 9 productions of the upcoming Western Michigan University theater season with Jay Burkow, professor of music theater, and Emily Duguay, director of theater arts management. Many of their current and former students have been racking up successes in the theater world recently. There are WMU theater grads winning roles on Broadway, in the LA theater scene, in major city and regional theaters. They're also playing leads in national tours, serving as stage managers, designers, and even interning on a new musical production of Frozen. Burkow says he's always excited to see young talent rising in an age where theater can still offer life-changing experiences.
The Marquis de Sade once said, short of torture, theater is the best educator. all humor notwithstanding, bringing people together to kind of experience an art form that is so alive and that communicates so many different ideas all at the same time. And you can bring people together to who might learn something new, might find it educational, might decide that they might kind of change who they are during a 2-hour event, or might reinforce who they already are, but do it in a kind of a dynamic where they are surrounded by other people all experiencing the same thing, I think is truly unique to live performance and particularly to theater. And this is a time for our society to try to come together. We've become such a divided society right now in America. And whatever your political inclinations are, the only way for us to move forward is to move forward together. And hopefully theater is something that can do that.
So the season opens with a play called Waiting to be Invited by S.M. Shepherd Massat that just premiered in 2000 and is based on the playwright's own grandmother's experience.
It's a dramatic play with humor about several African-American women, middle-aged African-American women in 1964 in Atlanta who are traveling by bus to a lunch counter, which has been exclusively all white, to exercise their newfound civil rights. It's a personal story about these lovely characters that you really become engrossed with, while at the same time, it's a story about this is a time in our society where you can't just sit back and let someone else do your work for you. If you see inequality or racism, this is this time when everyone has to take their personal responsibility and do something about it. And that's what this play is about in 1964, and it has obviously a lot of resonance now. We're also very excited that I call them the Dream Team, and I guess if they're listening, they'll be embarrassed that I called them that. But we have two wonderful colleagues in the department, Lofty Durham, who is going to be directing the show, and Dwandra Lampkin, who is going to be actually acting in the production, which I'm very excited to see her work on stage. And she's a tremendous actress and has worked all over the country and in film and television. It's exciting to have her. A faculty member actually appear with our students as well.
Waiting to be Invited, the first show of the season for WMU Theater, begins September 22nd and runs through October 8th. Details are at wmutheater.com. Next up, starting October 6th, is a musical, one with a very familiar title, but one you cannot see anywhere in the United States.
This is The Witches of Eastwick. For fans of the novel and, of course, in the film that starred Jack Nicholson and Susan Sarandon and Cher and Michelle Pfeiffer, this is, in fact, that story. And it is about three women in Eastwick. It's a New England community who kind of discover that when they're together wishing for things, they tend to happen.
All right, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this right.
I close my eyes and I see him there.
They wish for kind of a new man to come to town, someone dark, someone mysterious, someone dangerous, someone sexy. And lo and behold, Daryl Van Horn shows up in a limo and buys this huge mansion on the edge of town and starts disrupting society. And it turns out he is, in fact, the devil. And this is not for the kids. He seduces all three women. And as kind of darkness pervades the town, it's a truly dark comedy. And this is a musical. This is a phenomenal score written by Dana Rowe, who actually is coming to work with us. I will tell you a little bit of the history. I've been obsessed with the show. It was done in London at the West End, and it was a pretty sizable hit there. And then it toured England, and I saw it in London. I just loved it. I'm somewhat acquainted with Dana Rowe, so I was like, what's happening with the show? And he said, well, Cameron McIntosh, the famous British producer, controls the rights, and he keeps saying that there's going to be a Broadway production, so it's been severely restricted. You can't get the rights in the U.S., but I wrote a show that toured England and was produced by Michael Harrison, who coincidentally was the producer of the UK national tour of Witches of Eastwick. So I called Michael. I was like, how do I get the rights? And I started this letter writing campaign to Cameron McIntosh, and somehow I got granted the rights. So we are, in fact, I think the 7th production of Witches of Eastwick in the US and the first college production of Witches of Eastwick in the world.
WMU Theater presents The Witches of Eastwick, October 6th through the 15th. Details at WMUtheater.com. I'm speaking about the new season with Jay Berkow and Emily Duguay. The next show starts just 2 weeks later.
How do you follow witches? More witches!
More witches!
That's a great segue, Jay. That's right. That takes us to a classic by Arthur Miller.
Yes, The Crucible, which... aficionados of this play are well aware that when Arthur Miller wrote the play in the 1950s, the play works on many, many levels. On one level, it's this dramatic story about kind of a true event that happened in 17th century America when these women were accused of witchcraft in Salem. And at the same time, it is a piece about a kind of a society gone mad with frenzy and kind of accusing itself of all these... you know, all these acts that are just patently untrue. There clearly were no actual, unlike Witches of Eastwick, where there are actual witches. In The Crucible, it's a bunch of young women gone almost rabid with accusation and tearing society apart. And it is an intense thriller drama. People not familiar with Arthur Miller's The Crucible or the Salem witch trials, it's on kind of just the plot, it's about a man, John Proctor, who has had an affair with a young woman, Abigail, and tries to end the affair and go back to his wife. And Abigail is just not having it. And she whips up her young teenage girlfriends into this frenzy and starts accusing people in the community of witchcraft. And it ends up literally people
tearing
are
the
tearing
apart.
The village apart, and people are killed, and it's a horrific story, and it's a true story. And if you do some research into it, it's fascinating. And we're also very thrilled to have back with us for one semester our faculty member Jim Daniels, who retired a number of years ago, and he's going to be with us teaching acting and directing The Crucible. Which is a great play for him. Jim is, you know, he's an actor's director, and mm-hmm. he will find every ounce of truth and passion in this piece and
relevance.
Yeah.
You know, and highlighting it in just the right way to speak to today's audience.
The Crucible opens October 27th and continues through November 5th. And again, that's WMUtheater.com for full details. My guests are Emily Duguay and Jay Burkow. You basically operate as a professional box office and theater. So I assume there are packages, gift packages and everything like that to go along with the season.
Yes, we have a season pass that is it is just a pass. It's a punch card, essentially. You can use those tickets any way that you like. So unlike other subscriptions where you buy a subscription and you're seeing one of everything, ours is a discount pass. So you buy 9 tickets in advance. You can see each play, or you can choose to see 4 of those and bring a friend. So it's entirely up to you. There is about up to a 40% savings on that pass. And those are available at the box office, and, you know, get more information on the website. But that is definitely your best savings with the pass.
Moving along, we have just finished the big fall drama, The Crucible, and now we're getting close to the holidays. So what are we going to lighten up a little bit here?
We're going to lighten up quite a lot. The Game's Afoot, Ken Ludwig. We've done some Ken Ludwig plays before, and he writes really wonderful, witty, light comedy.
Lend Me a Tenor, a lot of people know that's his.
So this is The Game's Afoot, which is kind of about a Broadway actor who is bringing together some friends to a Connecticut castle for kind of a big party weekend, but someone's murdered, and and it turns into this kind of hilarious. Oh, I really peaked the volume there on the microphone. I'll lean back. Murdered. And it ultimately becomes kind of this wild comedic murder mystery in this Connecticut castle. It should be great fun. You know, kind of sneak it in right before Thanksgiving. And
it is a Sherlock Holmes murder mystery. Holiday whodunit, we're calling it.
Right. The title character, who's this actor, his best known role is playing Sherlock Holmes on stage.
Yes.
So he probably thinks he has the skills to investigate.
Exactly. So it's a lot of fun. And it's not often that we do a holiday show. In fact, our musical is usually in that spot in the season, that November spot. And we decided with The Witches of Eastwick, we wanted to move that up into the October and bring this holiday play, which is different for us, too. So we're excited about that.
The Game's Afoot runs November 10th through the 19th. And details are at WMUtheater.com. It's followed by a 3-day run of Next Stop Broadway.
We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode.
Every year, a professional actor from Broadway or Hollywood will come and perform in a cabaret setting. So who is your special guest this year?
My special guest is a television star, Stephen Wollum. He played Thor on Nurse Jackie, who's one of Jackie's kind of cohorts at the hospital, which was a wonderful HBO television show. He's from Chicago originally, and he's been in a lot of well-known Chicago productions, and his cabaret work has been at Birdland and at Don't Tell Mama, and he's performed as a musical theater star all over the place, but he's more well-known as a television actor. He's actually on Difficult People right now, which is my favorite kind of quiet obsession television show.
It's hilarious. I don't know it.
It's on Hulu. It's very good, and it's very wrong. He has a very, very established self-contained cabaret act that he's been doing all over the country, so it's a perfect match. He doesn't really have to prepare anything new, but he's very excited about working with our students, and our students have been, you know, of course, binge-watching Nurse Jackie. It's also really nice for the students who aren't musical theater students to bring an established television actor here who can provide some other kinds of workshops for them, as well as just musical theater work. So that'll be new and exciting for our students, too.
A cabaret showcase is its own thing, a subset of theater, right? What are your expectations for a good cabaret night?
A cabaret performance, particularly from an artist like Stephen Wollum or last year Patrick Cassidy, it's a chance to really get to know them as themselves. it's personal, and you really feel like in, you know, in an evening, you've had an opportunity here in Kalamazoo to really get to know these people. And it's so exciting for our students to be on stage. They do a number with this, to have kind of their own Broadway star work with them.
Next Stop Broadway will offer performances November 30th, December 1st, and December 2nd. That's just a 3-day run.
One weekend only.
At this point, we go through the holidays and school starts up again, and maybe we're all a little bit deflated from the weather and school. And luckily, this next piece is set in a casino in Monte Carlo.
I will do my best to kind of encapsulate the plot of Lucky Stiff. In a nutshell, if you've ever seen the movie Weekend at Bernie's, there's a certain connection.
Atlantic City, May 5th. Dear Nephew Harry, this is my last will and testament. I hope it finds you in better health than it does me. Harry, we never met, so I hope you won't be too surprised when you hear the little favor I want.
This is by Lynn Ahrens and Steve Flaherty. It's, in fact, their first musical, and fans of Ahrens and Flaherty will probably know that they wrote Seussical, they wrote Ragtime, they wrote Once on This Island. And it's about a young man named Harry Witherspoon, who's English, who lives an absolutely miserable, tragic, lonely life selling shoes. And he's lonely and depressed. And he finds out that he has this uncle who he's never met in America from New Jersey, who has died and has left him $6 million in diamonds. But there is a catch. In order to get the money, he has to take his uncle's embalmed dead body on a fantasy vacation to Monte Carlo and fulfill every element. He has to go snorkeling. He has to go skydiving. He has to do everything properly or he doesn't get the money. And in fact, if he doesn't do everything properly, all of his uncle's money will then be gifted to the Brooklyn Home for Dogs. So this young woman from the dog home in Brooklyn is trying to sabotage this vacation. And more craziness ensues. Meanwhile, they're dragging this dead body around in a wheelchair, pretending he's alive. And it's a musical.
It sounds a bit like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Yeah.
Mad, 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 Mad World probably is tame compared to this. This is literally like door-slamming insanity. And as odd as that plot sounds, it's actually very easy to follow. And it's great for the whole family. It's silliness.
And if you can believe it, this big musical with all of this going on is going to happen in the York Theater, which is our smallest 100-seat space.
Yeah.
We don't often do musicals in the York Theater, but every once in a while we do. And so it should be very exciting in that tiny little space.
I will tell you, in the second act, for no apparent reason, everyone in the entire cast ends up in a French maid outfit.
It's something to look forward to.
You have to come to the show to figure out why that happens.
It's called Lucky Stiff, and it's the January production of Western Michigan University's Department of Theater. Full details at wmutheater.com. Monte Carlo.
Beautiful Monte
Carlo. I'm speaking with Jay Berkow and Emily Duguay about the upcoming WMU theater season. Now, just as Lucky Stiff is entering its final weekend, the next production will be opening in the Williams Theater, and it's Angels in America Part 1, Millennium Approaches. I remember when this was a huge achievement on stage, and then it was adapted by HBO. The Pulitzer Prize went to the playwright.
Basically, Tony Kushner wrote about the AIDS crisis in the 1980s and how we as human beings must kind of work together to sustain humanity at a time when the world seems to be falling apart. He takes this very grand idea, couches it into this very human story of these very, very real and empathetic, probably maybe 8 major characters. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, while you're kind of engrossed in these characters' lives, in this very realistic storytelling, puts it in this kind of magical, realistic world of playwriting. So there's a counterpoint between the realism of the storytelling in the characters' lives and kind of the epic nature of how these lives are a metaphor for all of us. The New York Times calls this the most important play of the decade, and I would say it still very much is one of the kind of greatest pieces of writing that the modern era has produced. It's brilliant writing. It's an amazing opportunity for young actors to really delve into some of the truly most evocative character work that they can do. You know, and to be honest, you know, I'll be a little personal. As a gay man who lived through the AIDS crisis in the 1980s and 1990s, part of it is still very difficult for me to watch. And part of it is something that I feel like I have to kind of keep coming back to remember and honor all those people.
Angels in America begins on February 9th, and it's part one, Millennium Approaches, of this two-part Pulitzer Prize-winning piece by Tony Kushner. Now, the next production, Jay, it's kind of strange because this name rings a bell, but it's not for theater. Larry David?
Larry David is a television personality, obviously, creator of Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. He actually wrote and starred in this play on Broadway, and his character is basically Larry David.
Yeah.
It's a crotchety kind of self-important character who goes through life kind of critical of everyone around him. And it's a kind of a wonderful comedy. The character's name is Norman Drexel, originally played by Larry David. And then
Jason Alexander, I believe.
Jason Alexander took it over.
After he left, yeah.
And there's a patriarchal character who's dying and all these family members come around to pay their last respects. You have this kind of large family crisis that gets kind of twisted down to the minutiae. You know, you don't deal with the big issue. You deal with like, oh, who's going to get the watch?
It is also a show not for young people. It does have, it's one of our more mature shows in the season. So, yeah.
I guess I want to know if it's like going to see an episode of Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm, or does he bring something different to the theater experience?
It's a lot like Curb Your Enthusiasm, to be
honest.
But I'd say that unlike a sitcom, the characters definitely are more fully drawn out. You know, you're not going to see something that's resolved in a half an hour, and the characters do have, you know, some depth and humanity to them, so that they sustain a full length story.
The show is called Fish in the Dark, and it starts March 16th. Now we've reached the final production of the season. It's one of the greatest musicals of all time, in my opinion, Jesus Christ Superstar, which will be directed by last year's Next Stop Broadway guest artist.
Patrick Cassidy is going to be back directing, and we're thrilled to have him. And I've been talking to him about the production, and he wants it to feel very contemporary. He wants the choreography to be kind of a very hip-hop take on the movement. It should be very dancey, while still telling the story of the Christ. But it's a very human story, and that's, I think, one of the other reasons that Superstar has become such a classic is that it walks the line between honoring Jesus's story as, you know, this biblical event, while still giving him a very human character and the kind of the dynamic between Christ and John and the disciples and Mary Magdalene. There's a very human quality to these characters in this completely sung through piece. There's no dialogue, and it promises to rock the theater.
This character of Jesus has a bit of softness and this doubt and this deep sadness when he knows he has to leave.
But he has an epic song called Gethsemane.
Yeah.
which occurs right after the Last Supper in the piece, where it's just Jesus alone on stage singing to God and questioning why this has to happen, why he has to die, why this is inevitable that he's going to die for man's sins, and really kind of having a crisis of conscience as to, you know, why this is going to happen. And through the song, he's able to understand the greater nature of what he's doing and elevate himself to go through the torture Except that he's then going to go through.
And Judas also is a terrifically drawn-out character.
He's a drawn-out, fully-fleshed character. And in fact, you know, I teach this. The show is so important in terms of musical theater history, not just because of its role as a rock opera, but because when it first opened, to be honest, when it first opened, a lot of Christian groups were not happy with the piece, and for two specific reasons. One, it is primarily told from Judas's point of view, and Judas is quite empathetic. And the second is there's no resurrection. This is a piece that ends with a crucifixion, and so it is a very human story, but. Kind of that was in the 1970s, and now it's without the piece changing at all, it has now become something that, you know, everyone goes to see at Easter time when it's on tour, and it's actually kind of done this the quite a big change around, and you know, Christians seem to feel that this truly does tell a story, and I think you know, people want to see a human story about Jesus, and I think that people find it moving. And I truly believe that it does nothing but elevate the story.
Jesus Christ Superstar, directed by special guest artist Patrick Cassidy, opens April 6th and continues through the 15th. And Emily, which theater will this be in?
That's in the Shaw Theater. So that'll be in our, you know, our biggest space to finish out the season.
Any final thoughts about this season?
I think we have so much to offer this year. The response to what we're offering has been really enthusiastic. So we're looking forward to a great season.
I'm very excited about the opportunity to do these shows with our students. Our students are so talented, and this is such a variety of roles and design opportunities. I think that pedagogically and in terms of their training, this is giving them such a huge variety of work to do, and I just can't wait to get started. And audiences that have come to see our shows really expect the best of our students, I think, on stage and off stage, and I think they're going to see them reach new heights this year.
Thank you very much, Jay and Emily.
Thank you.
For the fire in your heavy
feet. Close your eyes, and relax. Think of nothing tonight.
I spoke with Jay Burkow, professor of music theater, and Emily Duguay, director of theater arts management at the Department of Theater at Western Michigan University. Details on the new season are at wmutheater.com. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for tuning in to Weekend Let's Hear It.